strength tonight and help us to carry her words into the coming week. In your holy name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right, girl.
God bless this.
You give them heaven.
Shabbat Shalom. Before I say much, I think they'll be running a video. It's an old one. I apologize. We haven't been able to bring up the new one yet. So they'll do an old video about, I guess, something to do with Zambia and the work that we do. Then,
I've been given instructions.
Yes, I was trying to be less loud.
They will adjust it from back there. You just be faithful.
Yes, but I want your ears to remain intact. So. So wait for the video, then I'll speak then.
My name is Sayalina, and I was an orphan child, but this is not my story. This is the story of the children of Zambia and how you can help them. There are over 1.2 million orphans in Zambia, one out of every 14 people in my country. Only 10% of those children receive any type of help. Most live on the streets, searching for food to eat, with no hope for a better life. In 2005, my husband Alex and I felt the Lord calling on us to change the lives of the children of our community. So we started the Jerome Fleischer Orphanage in an old garage. It grew into a large building, but most of these children still had no proper place to live. As the night would come, they had to leave. These children needed more, and our loving Lord has provided our new facility. Construction was recently completed on the 100-bed Jerome Fleischer School Orphanage, a dream 5 years in the making. Here, children will be able to get a quality education, spiritual guidance, healthy meals every day, and a comfortable and safe place to sleep every night. They can finally have a place they can call home. If the Lord has entrusted you with His money, please consider supporting our mission in Zambia. Soon our doors will open and the children will come pouring in. There are ongoing costs for school supplies, food, clothing, and staff. 80% of Zambians make less than a dollar a day, so we can't do this alone. If you want to help give these children a home, please contact us at our website or email address on the screen. If you feel the Lord asking more of you, please consider supporting children directly, financially, and in prayer. We know that the problem is big, but we know that the Lord is bigger.
Thank you so much for sparing a few moments to see that short video clip. Like I said, it's quite old. We have a little bit more progress than you have seen up there. And before I go further in giving a brief report, I know Jay has given some form of presentation here about his trip when he came over to Zambia. But before I do that, I would like to take this opportunity to thank the leadership, the elders of Royal Israel, for giving me this opportunity to stand before you and share that which we're doing and that which the Lord has placed on my heart, and also to thank each and every one of you that has helped in many ways to pray, to provide financially, to communicate with us and encourage us in the work that the Lord has set before all of us to work together and do. I really want to appreciate that which you have done and the support that you have given. I know we are not able to save everyone off the street, but those the Lord has brought in our way together, we've been able to do something to help. And I really appreciate your obedience to your God in that area. I also would like to thank Jay and Pam. It was very nice to have them over earlier in the year, in February, when they came over. Like Jay stated, it has been years of probing. And yeah, it has been years of probing and trying to get him, but finally, I don't know, the Lord must have given him a blast or a nightmare or something. But he decided to come, and we were blessed that somebody would come and be able to see that which the Lord has been doing through you here and come back and give a report from a different perspective or from a different angle that we may have missed the number of years that we've been coming to share with you what has been happening. And so I really say thank you to Jay and Pam and those that supported them in prayer in whatever way that made it possible for the trip to come. God richly bless you all. Thank you also so much for supporting my family personally, those that have been supporting us over the years, which has made it possible for us to do what we do. We really appreciate your support. We really, really appreciate your prayers. It has been a great help. We really feel that it has been a burden or a challenge shared, because we know that you are there. And just to appreciate even more that from this congregation, we have Bruce and Gail coming over, which is such a blessing. Amen. Yeah, we can continue to torment them a little more from where we left off with Jay and Pam, since Jay has been saying it has been torment. So, yes, and they can continue off the work from where they left off. That is really a blessing for us that you can come over and really work and share with us and rejoice with us in that which the Lord is doing. So for all that, I appreciate God, and I say thank you so very much. There's quite a lot to share, actually. We, for those of you that are hearing for the first time, start from the beginning, we have a day school which has right now about 177 children from first grade to seventh grade, and then we have a home that which you saw up on the screen that was under construction and is now done. There we have 19 children right now, 6 which are boys and 13 which are girls. And so from the home, they actually live there. We provide everything for them. They're basically in a home. They go to school and they live there. And there we have 3 mothers that take care of them. 2 of them actually sleep there at the home with them and take shifts to go back to their homes, but still come back to take care of the children. And the school has three teachers, one head of school, and we've got a crafts teacher as well who helps them with learning how to sew. We were blessed with sewing machines for the team that came last year, the other year. And so they've been learning how to sew. We're trying to get them to also get a craft that they can actually do to help them support themselves. And so we are working on that, and we praise the Lord for that because it has come to fruition. That is another point of answered prayer for us. And we also have one that we call a mother who does the cleaning and the cooking, and Pam had the privilege of helping her out cook. Those of you that saw the Jay's presentation must have seen that. And we have extended our program a little bit for a third group. Those of you that have known this work long enough have heard of the graciousness extended. This was some support given to children that were not either in our home or in our school. We had a number of disabled children that we were supporting that were outside of our school, outside of our program, and that was called Graciousness Extended. And our Graciousness Extended was expanded, especially this year. Some of you that support children that graduated from seventh grade into junior high must have received emails from Maria Schmidt, who is our coordinator here in the States. She just lives in Colorado Springs. And you received emails to say that, well, we needed the support like in advance so that we can get them into secondary school. And this was more or less like a pilot project or something that we're trying to see that whether it would work for us or not. It is a little bit more administrative work that we are willing to do because then we have to go into different of secondary schools where these children are going and pay for the schools and pick up the reports and check on how their progress is doing. But that has been a great blessing indeed. The response was marvelous and imaginable because, first of all, Maria thought we were in the same school program. That school started, I think, somewhere, is it August or September? Our school starts in January, so when it was December, and I'm telling her, Maria, I'm waiting, and she says, well, school only starts in August, and I said, no, it starts next week. Yeah, this is January. These guys, the results are out, and we had a very good pass rate, which is about 90% of our class made it with very good grades to junior high, which for us was another praise report and prayer answered because in the environment where they live, so far, I think in a record of about 4 years, our school has stopped to be the best of results. We have beaten the government schools, which is unheard of for a community school. So, yeah, so that has been a really, really great praise report, and it has caused, you know, people to glorify God and say, well, yeah, they're different. Well, because they pray to God all the time. They teach the children the Bible. So they've got all those principles they're trying to live by and which is making good progress for them and making good citizens. So we really praise God for each and every one of you that is making this possible. And from the 28 of the seventh graders that went into eighth grade that this year, beginning of this year, 21 of them immediately were sponsored. People were ready to send in $360 within a space of 3 weeks to get these children into school. We're able to pay their school fees in advance because they can't come to our school. Junior high, we are not able to accommodate those grades and those subjects at our school, so we have to take them into other schools. And so that was done for our first class of grade 7. That is fully sponsored, and we say Baruch Hashem for that because, yeah, I mean, that was a miracle in itself. We really praise God and honor him for making that possible. And I did get a number of them to write something that I wanted to read to you. First of all, I'll read one from our head of school concerning the same graciousness extended and what three of the students had to say about it, a little bit of this story. The head of school says, my name is Mbuyoti Stanley Mwindwa, a 30-year-old teacher, Jerome Flash Orphanage School. The graciousness extended program has been of much help to many children, especially those who qualified to go to high school. Most of the children at Jerome Flash stopped school after grade 7 final examinations, even after making it to grade 8. But with the introduction of graciousness extended scholarships, it is of much pleasure to me as a teacher and even the children themselves that the learners like Martin Mukuka have benefited much from the scholarship. He is a 17-year-old boy who came from the village in 2009. He stayed at home from that time helping the brother who worked as a garden boy. He decided to enroll himself at Jerome Flash after hearing about the school from his friends as from grade 4 in 2012. After qualifying to secondary school in 2015, he was not able to go, he had to go back to the village, but then he was given sponsorship by Jerome Flash. Thank you for the help rendered to all the vulnerable children. So this was one story that the teacher, the head of school, wrote about, and this one is Robert Peary. And this young man is a miracle boy, I say, because he had, after writing his exams, one of his uncles got excited and said, well, I'll take you and sponsor you the rest of the way. And so this is what he says. My name is Robert Peary. I am 15 years old. I live in Lilanda compound. I live with my uncle. My father died in 2012. My father died and my mother was not working. We struggled to survive and that I had to stop school. That is when I came to Jerome Flasher. I passed to go to grade 8. But there was no money, so I went to Kawe, where my uncle, Kawe is another city about an hour and a half from where we are, where my uncle promised to take me to school, but I stayed at home for the whole term until I heard that Jerome Flasher was sponsoring some pupils. Then that is when I brought my papers and they helped me find a place where I was accepted to go to grade 8. Now I cannot believe I'll be going to school this very term. I appreciate for the sponsorship given to me. I would have still been in Kawe doing house chores and gardening. Thank you so much. May God bless the hand that has helped me. I promise to work extra hard. And this is Robert. And actually, 2 days, this boy reappeared at the school 2 days after I had told Maria to delete him from the program because we had not seen him, and when the uncle picked him up, he never said anything. And so Maria kept on asking. I said, okay, we can't seem to locate him. Can you give me another month or two? And Maria says, well, what should I tell the sponsor? And so can you tell him to hold on? We say, okay, we'll hold on to the check and see what happens. And when I said, I think this guy is not coming back, we have not been able to locate him. 2 days he appears and says, there's no one to help me out there. I don't know where to go. I'm done with my exams. I had very good results. And immediately I said, Maria, please, I hope you didn't send that email. This boy is back and this is what, and he's missed a term out of school and our teachers are ready to help him catch up with the term that he missed because the government school won't do that. So they're able to help him catch up with the subjects that he missed out, help him with the math and the English and all that so that this term he's able to be on the same page with his friends. And this is Anna Kaluba. And she says, I'm 15 years old. I live in Lilanda. I live with my mother and my grandmother. My father died when I was 2 years old, and my mother was not working. It was difficult for us to eat and go to school for a while, and so I had to stop school. I just stayed at home helping my mother sell tomatoes by the roadside. The money she made was only enough for us to have one meal a day. When I heard of Jerome Flasher, my mother decided to enroll me because I had stayed home for a long time. Class was difficult, but my teachers encouraged me to work hard, and when I wrote my exams in the seventh grade, I passed to go to secondary school. There was no money to go to eighth grade. My mother continued to sell tomatoes, but it couldn't make up, but the Graciousness Extended Program was introduced, and I was sponsored to grade 8. I am very happy. Thank you so much, and may God Almighty continue blessing you, Anna. And the last one is from Leah Mwanungama. I am 16 years old. I live in Lilanda compound with my grandmother. My father died when I was in grade 3. I stopped going to school since then. We started struggling and my grandmother was not working. Then life became very, very hard. By the grace of God, I started going to school by the sponsorship of Jerome Fleischer from grade 3 until I wrote my exams in 7th grade. When I passed, my mother was worried because there was no money to start school. But I thank God because Jeremy Fleischer called me and said that I would be sponsored to 8th grade. I was excited because most of my friends do not have this opportunity to get back to school and they end up in marriages. Thank you so much to Jeremy Fleischer and all the sponsors who helped me go back to school. I pray many of my friends will also benefit from this. Thank you and God bless you. So this is some of the results of the program that we have actually extended, and not to say that the Graciousness Extended program is the most important, but all those that have been sponsoring these children from third grade, from first grade, made it possible for them to get this far and be able to get to secondary. And we're believing God that the Lord can do even greater things for these children. Praise the Lord. I don't have much time, but I'll share a little bit more from the word of the Lord. I thank God for this privilege, and I'm greatly honored that I can open the scriptures with you. And understanding very well that we're in the season of counting the Omer and coming to an end, actually, and coming to the season of Shavuot. It is such a blessing to be here. And this time that the Lord allowed me to be this part of the world in this season. Amen. I'll try to briefly share a little bit in the remaining 20 minutes or so that I have, I think, if I timed myself correctly. Yes. When Rabbi Bert last week said, well, I'm not going to talk about Acts chapter 2, and it's like, oh, praise the Lord. Yeah, it's like, okay, at least he can leave me something to talk about for Shavuot. Kind of like said almost everything there, but Baruch Hashem, amen. But I know being a Messianic congregation, we most of us understand what Shavuot is all about. And then from the Greek, we get the word Pentecost. Okay, and it's also known that Shavuot is a festival of harvest. But one thing that I've been reading and learning is that Shavuot was more like a coming into covenant with Hashem by the children of Israel when they left Egypt and coming into going towards the promised land as they met at Mount Sinai. I must say I don't speak American. I start with my apologies. I speak English, and English itself is not really my first language at all. Okay, I speak 4 or 5 other different languages, and that's nothing also because we've got 73 where I come from. Yeah, somebody one time asked me, what language do you speak in? I was hearing that for the first time. I'm still trying to figure that one out. Yeah, so some English things might not be exactly proper. Please bear with me. I ask the Ruach to help me. So basically what I look at the Feast of Shavuot is that the children of Israel have come and are standing at Mount Sinai before the Lord. And there's a covenant that is being created there. The Lord says, well, come to me and I'll covenant with you. And it's looked upon by most Jewish people as a marriage covenant. And the Torah that is being given as the ketubah or the marriage agreement, so to speak. And so the ketubah outlines the way the marriage should be lived out, how the marriage should function, and how each of the partners should relate to each other. So it's very difficult for me when I hear people that talk about doing away with the Torah, because the Torah is what makes who we are. Okay? It gives us an identity, first of all. And secondly, it gives us direction, or gives us a place to put us and say, okay, these people belong to this person. Okay? And these people are in an agreement with this person. And the world being what it is, we do need direction and instructions. So once we do away with the Torah, with the ketubah, we cannot be in a marriage covenant relationship with the Lord. It just cannot happen. Amen? It cannot happen. So here we see the Lord appears to the children of Israel, and I know Rabbi, I think, spoke about it briefly here and there about the relationship, and that is Rabbi Bert, and Rabbi Bill also spoke about holiness, and that's what the ketubah is all about. That's what the instructions are all about. And I don't see why people should fast or complain about living righteous and holy lives. I don't know about you, but I don't see anything wrong with that. And I'm kind of like asking myself, so what exactly do you want to live by? I mean, that's a question each and every one of us should be asking us. What exactly do we want to live by? If it's not by the Torah, what other options do you have? I'd be all ears to hear you share, really. Amen? Yeah, so we, believers in our age, when we look at Shavuot, we focus so much on, oh, okay, Acts chapter 2 and the Pentecost, then the Ruach came, and so on and so forth, and kind of like live out the part of where it all started. But the fact is that it started first with the giving of the Torah, giving of the instructions. And the issue is that there cannot be the giving of the Ruach if there's no giving of the instructions, because you would not know what to do anyway. And it would be very improper for the Ruach to come on a person who doesn't understand how to live by. Because he's going to, the Bible says he's going to come and teach, he's going to come and guide, you know. But he can only get the directions from the Torah. Whatever direction he's going to give is going to come from the Torah. So these two actually go together. The giving of the Torah and the giving of the Ruach HaKodesh. The Bible in Yohanan, or John chapter 14 and verse 15 to 16, the Bible says, if you love me, you will keep my Torah. And, well, at least in my Bible, there's no full stop there. It continues and says, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another comforting counselor like me. Amen. So he says, first of all, you must love me. And if you love me enough, you will keep. And if you keep, then I'll be able to ask my Father and say, look, here is this guy is keeping the word. Can you please give him a comforter while I'm away? Amen? Amen? And so he says, I'll ask the Father to give you another comforting counselor like me, the Spirit of Truth, to be with you forever. Now, Yeshua said the exact same thing that Hashem said at Mount Sinai. And I'll just paraphrase it and say, he says, these are my words, so live by them, and you'll be my people, and I'll be your God. This is basically what Yeshua was saying, even in Yohanan. This is exactly what Hashem said when he was at the Mount of Sinai, and speaking to the children of Israel. So you will see that in the counting of the Omer from the time of Shavuot actually links the physical and the spiritual redemption of the children of God. Because when they started coming from Egypt, that was more like physical freedom and redemption. Amen? So and then they come to Mount Sinai, and they begin to hear the voice of God, the Lord speaking to them. And from there, they receive a spiritual transformation, because they have a spiritual and new encounter with the presence of God that they may not have had in Egypt. Now, Egypt was good. Everything was happening. There were miracles, but mostly those were for Pharaoh. Yeah, they were for Pharaoh, okay? In trying to get him to act a certain way and just for the Lord to prove who is God. Amen. But then now they come to the mountain and they begin to hear the voice of God. Of course, they tremble. The Lord says, prepare yourself 3 days. And I think we've done those parashas in the past weeks. And it says, prepare yourselves and appear before me after 3 days. And it begins to speak. And the children of Israel say, no. We can't hear him. Now, in my small brain, as much as I understand, the Lord says his ways, not my ways, neither his thoughts, my thoughts. If they were, that would be a very big problem. Just so you know. But it would have been good if they had remained there and heard the voice of the Lord, you know? I mean, it would have made a whole big difference, really. Because this is the problem that we have even now. We have still developed the same kind of attitude in trying to hear from a third person, and we really don't take it seriously. If we heard it from the Lord himself, we would have been a different people. We would have been a different people. So basically, Shavuot celebrates the spiritual liberation as they experience the presence of the Lord and revelation at Sinai. And like I said, Passover talks about the physical. Then, in Exodus chapter 19 and verse 6, he revealed himself and how people should live as a redeemed community, a kingdom, a priest, and a holy nation. So now, Exodus chapter 19 verse 6 says, and you'll be a kingdom of Kohanim for me, a nation set apart. These are the words you have to speak to the children of Israel. Now, this they should have heard for themselves, because now the Lord is telling Moses to tell the children of Israel. And it's the same scripture that we find in 1 Kefa chapter 2 and verse 9. It says, but you are a chosen people, the king's Kohanim, a holy nation, a people for God's possession. Now, that's a high calling. A people of God for God's possession. And then it says, in my Bible, it says, and why? In order for you to declare the praises of the one who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. So there's a purpose of us being called out of darkness, out of our Egypt, and coming to meet with the Lord in his wonderful light. That we may declare the praises of the one who called us. And I don't believe we're doing that. In Vayikra chapter 26, Leviticus chapter 26, verse 11, he tells them, I will put my tabernacle among you and will not reject you, verse 12, but I will walk among you and be your God, and you will be my people. The Lord has always desired that we become his people. And his people have always resisted. Heaven knows why. But I don't know why we have resisted. But he has always wanted us to be his people. But the problem is that we always seek self-comfort. This doesn't feel good for me. This doesn't sit right with me. Well, I am married to Alex, and the Bible says we are one flesh, but we just don't flow with the same temperature when we're in the car. No matter how one flesh we try to get. So all of us here will feel different about something. And if we were all given the privilege to move with how we feel, we would have a very big problem. Like I said, the Lord says your thoughts are not like my thoughts. I have a totally different thinking pattern. And he just gave us a tinsel. I don't even know if what he gave us was measurable. Thought capacity, that is. Because if it was even measurable, we would not be doing what we're doing. When we look at, I'm not going to read it also because my time is running out. I look at my watch and I only have 5 minutes and I'm trying to skip around here. Ezekiel chapter 44 and verse 15. It talks about the priesthood. And I heard the rabbis also talk about that. Rabbi Berg talked about it this evening. He says, well, we're a priest. Oh, yeah. Okay. But we must understand that that is a very high calling. When you read Ezekiel chapter 44 and you see the instructions that God was giving to the priests, that is no joke. When we start from verse 10, he talks about the Leviim, or the Levites, and they said, okay, you had abandoned my sanctuary when things went bad. So you only work or serve me in these areas. And he points out the areas up to about verse 15. And then verse 15, he says, now the priests are the ones that will approach me. They're the ones that will serve me. They're the ones that will attend to me. They're the ones that will offer the necessary offerings. They're the ones that will enter my sanctuary. The priests are the ones that will minister to me. They will perform my services. So you'll find that when you read Ezekiel chapter 44, 15 to 18, there is no room really about how you feel. Okay? There is no room for about how you feel or how service is supposed to be done or, you know, and all that stuff. There is no room really, because if we all did things the way we felt, we would have 100 and whatever services and say, okay, now we have a service for Jay. Okay, now we have a service for Pam. Okay, now we have a service for Faye. Okay, this week. It doesn't work. So the Lord gives instructions to the priesthood and says, this is how you are going to do it for me. This is how you are going to approach me. Whoever's going to approach me should deem me holy. Amen. You're not going to be approach me anyhow. Yeah. Amen. And we see that the instructions, extra instructions were given to the priesthood compared to the Levites. Because the priesthood never told, well, you can't marry a widow, you can't marry one that is not a virgin. And they were given all this extra. The priesthood was lifted at a higher standard. So when somebody says, like Rabbi said, well, we are the priesthood, I don't kind of like say amen. I just go, oh, yeah. It is a higher calling. It's not a game. It's not a joke. He said, Hashem says, these are the ones that will minister to me. And he's got times and seasons to be ministered to. He's got a whole entire program laid out. So if you're going to be a person that doesn't feel like it today and you're feeling cold tomorrow and then you're a priest who's supposed to minister to the Lord and he needs to be ministered to, then you don't show up, you're not a priest. No. You do not deserve to be called one.
That's right.
Amen?
Amen.
In verse 23 of the same chapter of Ezekiel, chapter 44, the Bible gives instructions on what the priest is supposed to be doing. And it says, the priests are supposed to teach my people the difference between the holy and the common. And enable them to distinguish between the clean and the unclean. Now, here's the catch. You have to know first what is the holy and the common before you're able to teach it. And once you have known it, you have to live it. Then you can teach it. Because you teach better out of experience than you would out of head knowledge. So he says this is assignment of the priest, and that means that these things are not exactly obvious and the priest cannot teach what they have not learned from God. We are so much wrapped in the idea that the Lord loves me so much. You know, we've got that cuddly feeling of floating in the cloud and, you know, the Lord is at my disposal. And, you know, I can say, Lord, this and Lord, that. Like, oh, Lord, I'd love a cup of hot tea or iced tea right now. And you know, and the Lord is not here to serve you. Okay. I hope Rabbi won't regret this. I'll mess you up a little bit, then I'll let him fix you up. The American way. I'll do the African way, then let him fix you up somehow. Okay. The Lord is not here to make you comfortable. All right? He paid too much a price just for you to sit there and look pretty. No, seriously. Our lives need to show gratitude for what the Lord has done for us. The Lord is not a button that we just press and, you know, some bingo machine or something, you know, and something good comes out all the time. We press. Yes, we will have blessing. Yes, the Lord will bless us with good things because that's what a father does. But there's also something that children must do, is honor their father. And the reason why we have problems finding out how we should honor God is that we ourselves have failed to teach our children how to honor fathers. I mean, our societies are becoming a mess. We have got children that are growing up now. I may look young, I'm quite old, by the way. Clocked another year a few days ago. Yeah. Got kids of my own, too. So I know what I'm talking about. I mean, everybody is complaining about this generation that is coming after this generation that is going out. But guess what? The generation that is going out is the same generation that raised the generation that is coming in. Yes. And we don't want to take the blame. So if our children cannot honor parents, we will have problems honoring God. Because if your son can slap you over the head once in a while, you think you can do that with God? If we learn and teach how a father should be honored, we will know how to deal with God. We will know that when he spoke, it was a serious matter when the children of Israel said, you know what, it's too much. We can't continue hearing him. Then you actually understand that he is not a game. He is not a fairy tale. He is real. Hallelujah. He says in Jeremiah chapter 18, verse 4, the porter made a pot in whatever shape suited him. The Lord is explaining about the pot and the clay. And he says, the Lord made a pot. The porter made a clay pot in the shape that suited him. Again, it doesn't matter how you want to look or be shaped. The porter is the one that shapes the pot. In verse 6, it says, O house of Israel, can't I deal with you as the porter deals with the clay? It is a very serious thing to be called priest. It is a very high calling to be called to serve the King of the universe. I know Jay had shared his trip to our presidential palace when we went over with him. And just the protocol and the clearance and all the stuff that goes on for you to just walk in and don't even see him. I mean, we go to a place that is not even near where his actual palace is. I mean, all the trouble that we had to go through. First, our names have to be submitted. Then they have to do a search and then a background search and then all that and all that. And we are so casual with the King of the universe. We don't even pay attention when we come in his presence. Because we don't believe it actually that he is there. We can easily say it, but do we truly believe that he is here? When he's here, are we able to serve? Are we able to approach? Are we able to bring the necessary offering? Are we even able to speak when he is here? The Bible tells us that we are no longer slaves in Egypt or in sin, but slaves of God now. Romans chapter 6, verse 22 says, however, now freed from sin and enslaved to God, you do get the benefit. It consists in being made holy, set apart for God, and in the end, or its end result, is eternal life. There is benefit when you are a slave of God. And it says, being made holy. We can only be made holy when we yield to him. We can never be made holy when we remain cozy and comfortable with where we are at. We need to begin to yield to him. Amen. Shabbat Shalom. And once again, thank you so much for having me, Rabbi Bert, Rabbi Bill, and the entire leadership. I'm so grateful that you have open hearts and have always shown open arms to me and my family, and have considered us one of you. Amen. We are so blessed, really blessed, that we are comfortable to call this place home. I don't think I'll be seeing you again, so this might be my goodbye. Well, except for Gail and Bruce. Gail, Bruce, and Robert. Bruce. Really? I have to be here tomorrow again? Yes, for those that are only here this Fridays. Shalom. May the Lord be with you. Hope to see you again whenever the Lord allows it. Thank you so much.